Amen. Well, it's good to see everybody out to the to our home group meeting tonight, and it's just an honor and a privilege to be able to share and you know, just share this and put it out on the internet. I want to thank everybody that listens on the internet. I get all kind of comments and I get all kind of thank yous for putting it out there, and so I just thank you very much for all of your wonderful comments and responses back and your thankfulness for it. And I would only say it would be better if you were here in person, but that's okay. I understand what's going on. Well, I'd like to go ahead and continue talking about the four anchors of God. Last month we looked at that first anchor, and that first anchor, which is a very, very important anchor, and that is that the Lord went before them. And all of these anchors come out from Exodus 33:21. I think the last one comes out from Exodus 13:22. But that first anchor is very, very important, as I said. And the Lord went before them. Remember, if you hear a voice behind you, that's not a good thing. But when we hear a voice in front of us, that is the direction and that is the function that God leads, because the shepherd always leads from the front, not from the back. We saw that in Isaiah, that a voice behind us is more of a voice of correction, is a voice of correction, and that's not what God would have for us. He always wants to lead us, and God always is always out there and always going before us. Amen. That's kind of nice to know also that since He goes before us, He gets to wherever He wants us to be before we get there. And remember that He goes before us not to make our way easy and to make the crooked places straight, but God goes ahead of us and He goes before us so that He'll be able to make our way meaningful, that this will be a meaningful way that He will take us so that we will be able to learn the things and the lessons and all of the things that God has for us so that we'll be able to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, the second anchor tonight I'd like to look at is Exodus 13:21 also, and that is to lead them on the way. The first anchor was that God goes ahead of us, and the second anchor here is to lead them on the way. The second truth, the second anchor is to lead them on the way. Amen. God is always leading the children. Is always leading us. He was always leading the children of Israel in the way that they should go. Did you know there is a way that we are to go? And the way that I am to go is different than the way that, say, Gerald is to go, or even my sweet and beautiful wife is to go. Now, we all must go the everlasting way, that would fall on the ground and as a grain of wheat and die and all of these things. But there is a spiritual way that all of us are to go individually. And the children of Israel, God always led them in a way they had to go. And He too leads us in that same way. God is the same God yesterday, today, and forever. So the way that God led the children of Israel, it's not going to be any different than the way that God will lead us today. He will use the same ways, the same means, the same techniques. He'll lead us in that very, very same way. And this is one of the greatest securities and most trusted anchor that we could ever have. To know that we are following in the way God is leading is an unspeakable value. Let me say that again. This is an unspeakable value, knowing that we are following in the way that God is leading. Now, I want to stop there for a second and let that sink in, but I'm going to say some really critical things tonight that will really, I know, that will really bring understanding and will really help us tonight. But I'm going to repeat that again. To know that we are following in the way that God is leading us. Because, there are many Christians today that are following in ways that God is not leading them. They are following the wrong people. I will go ahead and date this. Last Saturday, Harold Campen said that the 21st at 6 o'clock that Jesus was going to come back. And Harold Camping has the biggest radio broadcast in the world. I mean, there were many people that was following Harold Camping. And, I mean, I got emails from people in Africa and Asia and, you know, and even phone calls, you know, saying, you know, Dave, is this going to happen? And I said, well, no, you know, I mean, I don't know. He may come, but you know, I mean, I don't know, you know. But the Bible says that no man knows the day nor hour. But the point is, there were many people that was following Harold Camping, but they weren't following the way that the Lord was leading them. It's so very important, and it's of great value that we go ahead and we follow the way the Lord is leading us. This is God's intention in leading us too, but that is up to us, not God. It's kind of strange that God has this way that He wants to lead us, but the leading depends not on God, but depends upon us. If there's a leader, then there's got to be followers. God has a way that He wants to lead us. There was a way that God wanted to lead the children of Israel, but they did not want to go that way. They wanted to go another way. And it's the same with us today. There is a way that God wants to lead us. And God says, this is the way, walk ye there in it. But so many Christians do not want to walk in the way that God has for them, because God's way is always down. God's way is always down in ourself. It's always in a humble and low place. And not too many people want to go down. We want to go up. But the way up is down. The way up is down. Amen. If we find ourselves in a certain place and we have been obedient to the best of our knowledge, we can be confident that God has led us there. Now, this is one of those critical things that I wanted to talk about. If we find ourselves in a certain place, and that can even be physically or it can be spiritually, and we have been obedient to the best of our knowledge, we can have confidence that God has led us there. Now that's worth coming out tonight and listening to. Remember, there's a way that God wants to lead us. And if we find ourselves somewhere, and if God is leading us, then we got to know. It's common sense that God has led us there. If we belong to the Lord and we are under His care, then He has led us there. Romans 8:14 says, "For as many are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God." So, if you want to be a son of God, then you got to be led by God, led by the Spirit of God. For us to be the sons of God, we must allow God to lead us by His Spirit. Wow. What a revelation. But many Christians do not desire to be led by the Spirit of God. They want to be led by their emotions. They want to be led by their desires, their ambitions, their intentions, and all of these things. But remember, wherever you find yourself, if you're in obedience to the Lord, God has led you there. Wow. And we'll talk about that in a minute. The leading of God does not always necessitate the consciousness of it. It is better to get our anchor from the Word of God than from our consciousness or feelings. God often leads us not by our feelings and our emotions. All throughout the Bible says, do not be led by your emotions. It's not by feelings that we go, but it's by faith. It's by faith. Most often in my walk with the Lord, especially lately, God has led me by my obedience to Him. And as I go, things just work out. People say, well, Dave, tell me, can you show me or can you tell me how you know you're in the Lord's will? Well, I mean, the only way I can tell you or show you that I'm in the Lord's will is I've been serving God. I've been doing the best that I know how. I'm not over in willful sin. I'm not doing any of that stuff. So God doesn't set me up for failure. So whatever I'm doing, I have to be in God's will. I have to be in God's will because God's not going to try to trick me. He's not going to, you know, lead me astray. He's going to lead me in the way that He wants me to go. And wherever I find myself, then that's got to be His will for my life. It's just got to be. because he's not going to set me up for failure. Do not be led by your emotions. Do not be led by your feelings. I remember when I was a younger Christian, and I would go to a church, and the music would be jamming, and people would be jumping, and just having a good time, and I would kind of get into that, you know, a little bit. But then I noticed that, especially if I was going to speak, then my spirit, I kind of moved out of that place, out of the ability to be able to bring the Word of God out, because I was up there, my spirit was up there, and I was just kind of out of place spiritually. And then I had to, try to bring my spirit down to where I could be able to administer the Word of God. We should not be led, especially when ministering the Word of God, by our feelings and our emotions. Charles Hahn and many other people said that they will purposely go to a service and maintain a spirit or attitude in their heart, so that they will not get over in areas that, of the music and be led away and all this good stuff. And I didn't understand that at first, but now I know what they're talking about. Amen. When we are brought by God to a place which does not seem like it is our consciousness or reasoning to be the plan of God, we will need God as a been leading anchor in our life. It is the true word of God. He leadeth me in Psalms 22:3. His divine arrangement may not look like this is leading, but when the second anchor becomes the wind of doubt, can blow their fiercest without any adversity affecting us. When we really allow the second anchor, remember, these anchors are not something that we hold on to. They're not something we hold on to. These four anchors of God are something that holds us. So when we allow these anchors to hold us, when we allow them, and even in situations where it does not look like this is the leading of the Lord, Okay, Lord, I know I'm doing the best of my ability, and I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. It just don't look like, things are going right. But I can rest in knowing that God is leading, and I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, even though it doesn't look like that. And if I can allow this anchor to hold me, no matter what is happening around me, I will be preserved. The purpose of this anchor is to give us rest. Let me say that again. The purpose of the second anchor is to give us rest. Now, rest in God is very, very important. There is a progression. Truth always has a spiritual progression. And that spiritual progression is this: faith. 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 Everything in the Bible, we come to Christ through faith. Our salvation is faith. But faith is not the end of our approach to God. The next thing is trust. Though God slay me, yet I trust Him. That is something different than faith. Faith is one approach and one understanding to God. And then there is trust. Then there's trust. Something greater than faith. Trust is, no matter what happens, I don't care what the world says, I don't care what the doctor says or whatever, there is a trust that God has built within me, and though God slay me, yet I trust Him. People ask me to, give a good definition of trust, and that would be, if I perish, I perish. If I perish, I perish. That's what Esther said. That's trust. Even if I die, I'm going to trust in God. And the last progression of the three is rest. And that's the place that God desires to bring all of His children to. All of those that are led by the Spirit of God. All those that are led by the way that God wants them to go. God desires that we come into a place of rest. Now, the children of Israel, as I said, did not allow God to lead them. No, they didn't. And in Hebrews, the Bible says that they all fell into the wilderness because of unbelief, and they did not enter into His rest. That's not what God wants for our life. God desires to take us through faith, through trust, working in our life, bringing us in those places and those areas in our life so that He can bring us into a place of rest, to where our minds are calm and our heart is free of doubt and unbelief. That is the place that God desires to take all of His children, is into a place of rest where you sit there and you look like nothing is going to move you. You don't need to retaliate. You don't need to vindicate yourself. You don't need to justify yourself or whatever. Your mind and your heart is just at rest, and you're just at peace. Wow. What a wonderful, wonderful anchor that can be. Amen. Amen. When we're brought by God to a place which does not seem like it's our consciousness or reasoning to be the plan, we will need God to give us this anchor, as I said. We must not attempt to lead ourselves. Let me say that again. If you've got the study guide, please underline that. We must not attempt to lead ourselves. I've tried that. It does not work. Let me say that again. I've tried it. It does not work. God is leading. God is leading. And we must not attempt to go in the direction which we have chosen. We must not attempt to go in the direction we have chosen. Do not of your own choice decide that this is the way in which I am going to go. Do not do that. Do not do that. If God gives us the prerogative or the choice to choose, that is different. That is different. But we must not take the prerogative on ourselves. Now, you need to understand that point there. That is a very deep thought, but that is a critical thought. Many times we want to go ahead and make decisions for ourselves. Well, be very careful when making decisions. Now, if God gives you the choice or the prerogative to make a decision, well, that's a different thing. But don't make big choices without God's input in that. Like Karen and I right now, we're going to have to move and we're looking for a house, you know. So we're looking at the Lord for the house that He wants us to have. And that's a process that we must go through. And that means we got to look at houses. Oh Lord, show us the house You want us to have. Just drop it in our mind, or you know, give me a letter or something. That's not the way that works. That's not the way that works. We have to look at houses so that when we walk in, we will know that that is the house for us. The house that I'm speaking in tonight. When Karen and I walked into this house, we knew without a shadow of a doubt this was the house that God picked out. And this house has fed hundreds, and it's blessed hundreds from around the world, and God is moving us on. There's a way that He's going to be leading us. We must be extremely careful when making choices. We must be extremely careful in making choices for God and for ourselves, especially for God. I don't know, so many Christians that make choices for God. Wow, I would be fearful. I would be afraid to make a choice for God. Now, if He gives you the prerogative to do that, you know, that's a different subject. But be very, very, very careful. It is best to allow God to make choices for us. It is best to allow God to make those choices for us. We may find ourselves in a situation where we must make a choice without any awareness of God's leading. Wouldn't that be terrible? Wow, that we would find ourselves in a situation where we must make a choice without any awareness of God's leading. Okay, God, did You give me the prerogative to do that? Oh, wow. What should I do? Prayer. Not make a choice quickly. Not make a choice quickly. Look at all of the things that's moving around there in the natural and in the spiritual. And if we've been walking with the Lord, though, in His will, and the righteousness of God, the choice we make will be the leading of God for us. Isn't that amazing? We have to make a choice for something. And God hasn't gave us any goosebumps, or God hasn't, you know, if someone hasn't come and said, God wants this, or, you know, all of those spiritual things. If we are walking in His will and in the righteousness of God, then the choice that we make will be the leading of God. It has to be. It has to be God's leading in that situation, because He leads us in a certain way, and He doesn't want to set us, or He doesn't set us up for failure. He doesn't do that. Well, I'm going to see if I can trick Dave. Well, you know, it doesn't work that way. That is why our habitual walk in righteousness will simply continue, and we will make the proper choice. That's why that continue walking in righteousness is so, so important in our life. Because once we get out of that place of doing the right thing and having that right relationship with the Lord, then we start getting over in areas where God can't lead us. And then the next thing you know, we find ourselves making choices for ourselves, making choices for others, making choices for God. And then often when we get over there, we make wrong choices. As we walk in truth and we walk in righteousness, God will not lead us out of His way. But that's powerful. As we walk in truth and as we walk in righteousness, God will not lead us out of His way. There is a way that He wants to lead us. And God does not try to see if He can trick us or set us up for failure or this. See if we can learn or understand that God is trying to trick us. Oh, wait a minute. I think God's trying to trick me. Well, no, God, don't do that. You know, He doesn't try to trick us. He always leads us in the way that He wants us to go. As long as we stay in that way of righteousness, and as long as we, you know, stay in truth, then whatever we decide will be the thing. It will be the choice. The children of Israel followed the cloud. It was not the way which they chose. Let me say that again. The children of Israel, they followed the cloud. They did not want to go that way. It was not the way they chose. It was the way in which God chose. If we can follow the leading of God, we put ourselves in a great advantage. If we follow the leading of God, we put ourselves in a great advantage. And if at the same time we can be truly convinced in our heart that we indeed are in truth and are following the leading of God, we put ourselves even in a greater advantage. Whew. That was another one of those critical things that I had to talk about. If we follow the leading of God, we will put ourselves in a great advantage. Of course, that goes without saying. But if at the same time we can be convinced truly in our heart, if we can be convinced truly in our heart that we are following the leading of the Lord, then we are in a greater advantage. So, yes, okay, Lord, I believe You, and I'm following, you know, in the way You want me to go. But if we can really believe in our heart that we are following the Lord in whatever that is, we will have a greater advantage. And this assurance will hold us firm even in a dreadful storm. Even when it seems like this don't seem like this is the way that I'm supposed to go. But if we could just believe in our heart that the leading that God has for us is this way, we will even have a greater advantage. The more we are convinced of something in God, the more of God's life will be in us, and the stronger we will be to stand. Wow, what a truth. The more we are convinced. Jesus was talking to Peter, and he said, Peter, after you are converted. That word converted there means after you're really convinced, strengthen the brethren. You know, it's kind of strange because what Jesus was saying to Peter and the other disciples, you know, you guys, you're kind of saved and, you know, this, but you're not really convinced. And that was a lot of the process that Jesus did with the disciples when He walked on earth with them. He was trying to do miracle after miracle and show them, you know, in the face of God and the power of God so that they could really, really be convinced of what He was saying was true. And the more we are convinced, we are, you know, the more of God's power and the more of God's life, you know, it, we will have moving in our life, and the stronger we will be able to stand in problems. Instead of being dashed upon the rocks, we are safely going through the storm. God has led us, and He's still leading us. Know it, believe it, be convinced. Know it, believe it, and be convinced. And the more convinced we are of the things that we believe in God, the stronger we will be, and the more we'll be able to withstand, things in our life. In Ephesians, it talks about, when it talks about putting the whole armor of God on, there is two references to standing. There is stand therefore, and then later on, I think about the 8th or 9th verse, it says, withstand. Now, standing is what I'm doing right here. I'm standing. I'm just, standing, and now I'm leaning, but now I'm standing. But withstanding means I'm being hit. There is something coming at me. And of course, in Ephesians, it talks about the fiery darts. Well, those fiery darts aren't darts that fly through the air and hit us in the head or in the mind or whatever. Actually, the translation of those fiery darts are subtle approaches of the enemy. The fiery darts of the enemy, those little subtle approaches. Because a fiery dart, if you've got a shield, you can block it. But those subtle approaches of the enemy, well, if you're not being led by the Lord, you will miss that. And he'll be able to get through to that. But know it and believe it. Know it, believe it. Here in Isaiah 49:10, it says, "For he who has mercy on them will lead them, even by the springs of water, and He will guide them." God said it, it is in His Word, and it is certain. Know it, believe it, be convinced of that. And the more convinced of that we are, the more convinced we are of the things of God, the stronger we'll be able to stand, and the stronger we'll be able to withstand life's problems and all of those things. The measure of our knowing and believing will be from the measure of our being convinced. The measure of our knowing and believing will be from the measure of our being convinced. When we come to know the Lord as our personal Savior, we come to the one who is to be our shepherd. He carries the lamb in His arms. He faithfully shepherds the sheep. Isn't that a wonderful statement? That the Lord faithfully shepherds the sheep. Well, I don't know about you, but for the Lord, that's not a wonderful task. Faithfully, shepherding the sheep. Have you ever went out into a field with a bunch of sheep? Sheep are some of the most disobedient, unruly animals in the world. Sheep will not listen. Sheep will do. I mean, that's why I got to have a dog constantly moving around. And you know what? Sheep just basically stink. Sheep, I mean, I know that all the reference in the Bible about sheep and the shepherd, a lot of that is symbolic. But, also that gives a little reflection, of all our personality and our characteristics all the time. But, one of the greatest pictures of Jesus, shepherd and the sheep is like that statue over there of Jesus with that lamb, with the lamb on his shoulder. And that's such a wonderful symbolic message of how Jesus carries the sheep, right? Well, yeah, that's true, but, the truth of that, of that statue is, before Jesus put that lamb upon his shoulders, he took that leg of the lamb and he broke it. And that lamb could not walk because he broke that lamb's leg because the lamb was getting too far out from the edge of the flock. And there were wolves out there, and the enemy was out there. And so Jesus was teaching that lamb to stay close. And so what they would do, what the shepherd would do, they would take a lamb like that and they would break his leg. And then while that leg was mending, the shepherd would put him around his shoulders and he would carry it. And they would walk with the flock. And the sheep would get a good smell of the shepherd. And the sheep would become very, very familiar with the shepherd. And then when the leg healed, the shepherd would put the sheep down on the ground, and the sheep wouldn't go very far. The sheep would stay right there, right with the shepherd. I mean, it would almost be under the shepherd's feet constantly, because the sheep has learned the lesson. Well, he carries the sheep, Jesus carries the sheep in his arms, and he's faithful in disciplining them, the sheep, and correcting them so that they do not get too far away. The leading of God is not only for the one who has a long experience walking with the Lord, but it's also for the one and the leading for us that has been walking with the Lord only in a certain time. You know, so many times people think, well, the leading of the Lord is for only those that have been walking with the Lord for a long, long time. No, there's no time limit on the leading of God. The leading of God is for all of His children. He has a way for all of His children to walk. No matter if you've been walking for 40 or 50 years with the Lord, or you've been walking 10 or 15 days with the Lord, the leading is the same for everyone. Now, He may have to communicate to us at a different level for those that have been walking with the Lord, but His leading is always the same. He leads us like He led the children of Israel. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. First, He has to lead us out of death into life. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful to know? That the first leading that God has for us is He leads us out of death into life. As we travel around, we go to a lot of churches, we hear a lot of songs about being free and freedom and freedom to do whatever we want to do in God and, you know, free of that. Well, in reality, what it is, we are free from one taskmaster, and now we have a new taskmaster. We have been freed from the taskmaster of the devil and the world and all of that sin, and now we are, you know, we are in bondage to the Lord. And we're not free. We don't get to do what we want to do. We may be free from the penalties of sin, hell, and death, but we are now under, you know, we are in the Lord's kingdom, and now we are under Him. We are His bondservant, you know, and we, you know, we're in Him. There is no freedom in God. There is only restrictions and limitations if we want to come to fulfillment and completion in Him. If we want to allow God to lead us, we have to go His way. And if we go His way, it's only by the restrictions and limitations of His words and the Bible and the words that He speaks to us. We can't be led by the Lord and then expect to do whatever we want to do. The Lord says go left, but we go right. And when we have this thinking of this, you know, we're free to do whatever we want to do in God. No. We're free just enough to surrender our life and our heart and our soul and our will to the Lord so that He can lead us. Certainly from that first point, though, that when we're led out of death into life, we can trust Him to continue leading us in His own path. If we can believe that Jesus can lead us out of death into life, then certainly we can believe that He's going to take us the rest of the way home. And along His own way, and is better meant for our well-being. He has led us out of death even before we knew Him. And certainly we know, as His child, He can lead us the rest of the way home. Now it's going to get a little dicey here. Please follow me. Having such an abundance of appropriate message in the Word of God, we certainly know that God is leading us. All throughout the Bible, we see that God is leading us in a certain way. When the leading seems to be strange, that we do not believe it to be His will, we still have His Word to assure us. As I said, as we're walking with the Lord, and as long as we're not over in willful sin and disobedience, you know, wherever we find ourselves, that's the leading of God. We have to make a decision, you know, as long as we're not over there, you know, doing some crazy things and, you know, over in willful sin, whatever decision we make, as long as we're walking in the truth and righteousness, will be the right decision. But notice what Jeremiah said here in Lamentations 3:29. Jeremiah, you know, as the weeping prophet, has shared this experience with us. He, being God, has led me and brought me into darkness. but not into the light. Wow. One of the characteristics of the leading of the Lord will be into areas that are unknown. Darkness. And that's the word here that Jeremiah was talking about. He wasn't talking about darkness per se, you know, like no lights. But what he was talking about is an area of leading spiritually in his life of the unknown. Not sure what's going on. And I really learned that verse the first time I went to Bulgaria. The pastor there, Pastor Yanko, wanted to check me out. And so I said, I work for two people. I work for God and I work for you. And he said, wasn't much, you know, a lot of English words he could speak. But he could say these words, come on, let's go. So anyways, him and my interpreter, and Maria and I, we went up to this Turkish fort. And there was walls, and behind the walls there was like a walkway. And, you know, he was rather small, maybe about 5'3", 5'4". He might have went about 120 pounds, 130 pounds. And I heard him say, as he disappeared into the darkness, come on, let's go. And so I could see that he was checking me out. He wanted to see if I really would follow him. And so I said, here I come. And I stepped behind the wall, and all I could see was darkness. There was nothing. I mean, it was just pitch black suddenly. And I could hear him saying, come on, let's go. And so I started shuffling my feet in this darkness, you know. And when I got a little further, I couldn't stand up straight. I had to kind of like bend over, and I was walking like this. And then I had to kind of put my head back because it was getting kind of like smaller, and I was rubbing in my head on the top of the ceiling. And the Lord kind of brought this, you know, this verse back to me that he was leading me in, you know, into darkness. And I just kept, you know, just slowly, you know, just inching forward, you know, inching forward. And I walked down the wall, and when I finally made the turn, there was a little more light. The longer we walk with the Lord, the longer we walk in darkness, there will be a time that He will provide a little light to us, and we'll be able to see things. And I'm talking spiritually now. As long as we walk in darkness, there will be a time where He will open up some understanding, some revelation to us, and then we'll be able to walk a little more in the light. And as I saw a little more of the light, I continued to walk. And I saw how I had to maneuver myself and how I had to twist my body and how lower I had to go so that I could continue to walk. And the more that I walked, the more I just continued to plod on, you know, the more my eyes focused. And the more my eyes focused, the more light, you know, or actually the less light that I needed, and then I could see where I was going. And when I made the second turn, because it was a room, I had a lot of light. And as I looked down at the end, I could see Pastor Yanko. And he was there waiting for me. And I walked, and as I walked, I looked down, because I had a lot of light, and there was about a foot down, and I was just walking on two ledges. And if I would have went into the center, I could have fallen and maybe broke my ankle. Wow. I'll never forget that. God has led me and brought me into darkness, not into the light. Most of God's leading in our life has been into the unknown, into the darkness, and into areas of darkness. But out of the light, out of the darkness will come this light of knowing. When we come into difficult areas, let us look back to the fact that we did not move into this position or this place on our own. When we're being led by the Lord, you know, and in this certain way, you know, and when we come to a difficult area, let us look back and the fact that we did not move into this by our own prerogative, by our own choice. God led us there. This difficult leading seems to be an unreasonable waiting of God. It is not unreasonable, it is proper. We will be aware of it when we open our eyes and we see nothing. We will be aware of it when we open our eyes and see nothing but darkness. It is not necessary that we understand our present plight of darkness. It is appropriate. When God brings us into these areas and He leads us in ways that we do not understand, we must not get upset. We must not get confused or anxious or any of that stuff. We just need to continue walking in truth and in righteousness. And in time, God will be able to bring us the revelation and the light that we desire. When we come to tough places in our life, we often blame the devil and our family and our friends, but it is God often who has brought us there so that we may learn and grow spiritually. The difficult places in our life, the dark places of not understanding things and why, those are the places where spiritual growth and development happen. You know, it's not in the places that's well lit and we can see and understand. It's in these unknown places that God will lead us. Amen.
Amen.
It is only necessary that we understand God has led us there. So when we get in these tough places and we don't understand, like Jeremiah, he led us in the darkness, it doesn't matter. What matters is that God has led us there. There's a leading that He had. That's all we need to know, that God has led us there. And if we can allow the second anchor to hold us, well, then we'll be able to understand that God has led us there. We may wonder how we got there. Our trusted friends will tell us that we have sinned. We've arrived here, this has happened or that has happened. But no, the truth is, we have arrived there by following the leading of God. And how do we think the children of Israel got into the wilderness? They did it the same way, by following the leading of the Lord. Amen. We must see beyond our circumstances and see God in everything we are doing, for He is there. We must see beyond our circumstances and see God in everything that we are doing. That's personal for Karen and I right now. We must see beyond our circumstances. You know, earlier we talked about our dog, Grimmy, that might be put down, We got to see beyond those circumstances. As we talk, the Lord's going to have us probably going back overseas and ministering again. Well, it will be much easier if we didn't have Grimmy to deal with. And Grimmy is a wonderful dog, but, why is this happening, God? We don't understand. We must see beyond our circumstances and see God in everything we are doing, for He is there. The Israelites followed the cloud. The cloud led them, not to the land which flowed with milk and honey, but to the wilderness. Now, if we can understand in our inward man, God has led us this way, we will have the anchor that we need. Wow. If we can understand that, if we can be convinced of that, then we will have the anchor that we need. We do not have to understand why. If we know that God cares for us, then He can trust Him to lead us, and then we can trust Him that He will lead us the rest of the way. If we have this anchor, we can go in and out even of the valley of death. Can you imagine being led to the valley of death? Well, if God has led you to the valley of death, if I perish, I perish. But if He's led us to the valley of death, then He will take care of us. He's led us there. We don't need to know why we're there. We don't need to know why. All we need to know is God is leading us, and He's led us there, and He will take good care of us. We can also believe that we are brought along the path of His choosing. We can believe that God is still there with us, leading us in spite of any circumstance that we have. Wow. That's powerful. I don't know about you, but that is just, we can believe that God is still with us, no matter the circumstance. If we can allow this anchor to hold us, no matter what the circumstance, we can believe that God is leading us in spite of those circumstances. If not, we will not desire to go where God has purposed spiritual growth and development for us. Again, spiritual growth and development for Christians today is in these unknown places, in these dark places But that's where we really learn to trust in God and you know, know where He's leading us. When the truth of God's leading grips us to a sufficient degree, and the intensity, then regardless of the situation or the storm, this anchor will hold us. We are secure, held by truth. It comes to us not to slay, but keep us alive, but to bring us into qualities into our life and preserve us there. Truth has come to us for the purpose of holding us securely in His certainty. Truth comes to bring us into a restrictions and limitations, as I said earlier, so that we can operate freely in God. You know, it's kind of like if you would do a drawing in God, you start in this very restrictive place right here. It's very restrictive. But the longer you walk in God, the more, you know, your freedom can become, because God can trust you. And so we start here at a very finite point, and as we walk with the Lord, like, it's bigger and bigger and bigger, and now we have a little more freedom to move in God, and God will allow us. But the reverse is true. If you start in a place of freedom and restriction, the more you walk with the Lord, God's going to have to bring you down into a place that is very restricted and limited. Amen. Amen. Regardless where we find ourselves, as a result of His leading of God, we can be, it's all of the leading of God, but we can be function and flow free from circumstances and situations. Amen. Real truth limits us. Real truth limits us and restricts us to just a defined movement and life in God. Real truth will limit us. You know, is that true? Well, if truth will always limit us, and if there's something out there that's not limiting us in a certain area or a certain way, then that is not real truth. But it is the restrictions and limitations, as I said, in God that brings us to fulfillment and brings us to completion. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Psalm 23:3. The valley of the shadow of death, even in the valley of the shadow of death, we have certain anchors which will hold us. Even there, we can have certain pillars of faith. Even there, we can have certain truth. Truth will hold us steady as we go through a most trying and most difficult place. We fear no evil, because we have come to the truth, because we have a fear of God. We fear no evil because God has brought us there. God is leading us, and He's brought us even to the valley of the shadow of death. And we know that God will carry us the rest of the way. It is in the valley of the shadow of death we see God and what He can do for us. If we have this anchor, we will not be so concerned about leaving the valley of the shadow of death. We will maybe linger a while and learn more from the Lord, because He is the one that creates the valley of the shadow of death. You know, death has always been one of the great, the great mysteries of man, and always something that we always seem to try to cheat in life. We don't want to know, but about death, and we don't want to die, and all those good things. And don't get me wrong, I'm not ready to die. And anybody says, "Well, I'm not afraid to die, or I don't want to die," well, I don't know about all that. I think there's too much that God has for me to do, to die. But even that thing of death, that we're so concerned about, and we try so hard to defeat. If we really believe that God is leading us, in which He is, and He always leads us in a way, even if it's into the valley of the shadow of death, then we know that that's God's will for our life. That's God's will for our life. And that is faith, my friend. That is trust, my friend. And that will be rest also, my friend. Our Heavenly Father, as we come to you now, dear Lord, we thank you and we praise you, Father, Lord, for your word. Lord, we thank you for your leading, Father, Lord God. Lord, we thank you, Father, Lord God, for sharing some critical truth with us tonight, Father, that will help us, Father, Lord God, and knowing your will, and Father, Lord, and making decisions, Father, Lord. So many wonderful things that you have shared with us tonight, Father. Lord, help us to just, Lord, just keep this word, meditate on this word, and let this word be a part of our everyday, Father, Lord, living. Let it be a part of our concepts and our precepts in our life, Father, Lord. And we just thank you and we praise you, Father, Lord, for we know that you love us very much. And Lord, we know that, Father, you're ever leading us, and you're leading us all a certain way, Father, Lord. And we know we can just rest in whatever happens in our life, because, Lord, we know that you are leading us, and you love us very much. Lord, we pray these things in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.